Yes, amen. Yeah, we've, you weren't here last week, Venice, but we've been studying prophetic things. The Lord has kind of led me to things. We started in the book of Daniel, but we're over in Revelation now. Turn to the 12th chapter of Revelation, and let me just say, kind of by introduction, that we were going to be looking at a study of what is the beast. What does the word beast mean? And there are three definitions of beast in the Bible. I'm repeating some things I said before, so just bear with me if you heard it before. One is just a living creature. And when you see the scene in the, I believe it's the fourth chapter of Revelation, where it says that there were four beasts that were around the throne of God, it doesn't mean that these are evil-looking creatures. It just, for lack of a better word, it should have said there were four creatures. And it's really describing the soul of man, which is going to be gathered around the throne of God. Okay, that's the one. The other term of a beast is a beast of burden. Okay, when the Good Samaritan picked up the wounded man, he put him on his own beast. Okay, now he didn't put him on a wild lion or a tiger or anything like that. It means he put him on his donkey. So a cow, a horse, a donkey, that's also a beast in the Bible. But what the beast that we're talking about here now, it's a different word. You see, Greek has three different words, and they're all translated into English as beast. Well, we have enough words in English, but somehow the translator said, well, let's just call it a beast. All right, so the beast that we're talking about here means a wild, dangerous, venomous creature. And that could include a serpent, a biting serpent, a python-type serpent, but it could include a lion, a tiger, you know, a leopard, that type of thing. Wild, dangerous, and in spiritual terms, it means an evil kingdom, an evil system, okay? So if we were talking about a certain government as being a beast, we could rightly have defined, you've heard something about World War II, I'm sure, of how Hitler was destroying and killing people. His system was a beast, okay? And the Bible would rightly have called it a beast.
He himself was a beast,
yes. So the beast refers not only to the individual, but to the man who runs this system. Let me give another definition, because we're going to see it here. And that is, I'm going to write it here so you understand it. The word heads, because these beasts have different heads. Heads, horns, and crowns. Now the heads mean what? Nations. And sometimes it says that they're mountains, okay? So in other words, it isn't just nations. A big church system could very well be a mountain, okay, in the terms of God. For instance, hi, Kathy. Amen. The horns are kings. In other words, men. And the crowns are the titles or positions that they hold, okay? I'm going to call it positions. And the actual word that is used here in Revelation of these kind of crowns, with these kind of beasts, is actually a diadem, okay, which is a gold thing. Well, you know, it's like a king's crown, a gold thing, and it might have little spikes on it, what have you. All right. So, we're going to look in, now that we've defined some of these things, I want to look at the first beast that's mentioned in Revelation is in chapter 12. Now, let me just say this, too, before we begin. Okay? There are four beasts listed in Revelation. Now, some of these are, they're all part of the same system. Okay? The first one here is definitely the devil. Okay? And I'm just going to put a number one here. Number one is Satan. Satan himself. And by the way, this is a spiritual... a spiritual beast. Another, it's called a heaven beast. Now, it doesn't mean heaven, streets of gold, throne of God, and that type of thing. The word heaven means a place in the spirit. There's a realm of heaven right here in this room today. How many of you believe that? There's a realm of heaven in my heart. Okay? So, to say that Satan is a heavenly being doesn't give him any glory. It just says he's a spirit being, and he's contending in this chapter with angelic beings. They're having a war. They're having a fight. Okay? And it also describes a church, a woman. It says there's a woman in heaven. So there's a, we as people of God are also in a heavenly place. We're in a spiritual place. Whereas you look around and you see people in the natural, you say, well, we're just natural people. No, we're more than natural people. In your soul, there's a war going on. The devil wants to claim your soul, and God is sending his angels to protect you and keep you from these things that are happening. So the first beast here, and this is the only one I'm going to get to, but I'm going to list the others here too. The second beast... and this is in chapter 12. All right. Over in chapter 13, there's a second beast, and he rises from the sea. I'm just defining some of the terms here, all right? What is the sea? Where is this beast coming up from the sea? In other words, if you're thinking natural thinking, see, we have to shift our thinking from thinking natural, tangible things to spiritual things. Okay? If you think natural, you think, well, the prophecy says there's a beast going to come up out of the sea. So I'm going to set up all my cameras along the ocean, you know, and as soon as that thing comes up, I'm going to set the tripwire, and they're all going to... I'm going to get the picture of the beast rising from the sea, you know, this big monster thing coming up with all these heads and horns. You're not going to get it. It isn't a photograph you're ever going to be able to take and publish in any newspaper or any such thing. It's a spiritual picture. But rising from the sea means he's coming up from among the unredeemed people of the world. So this beast is a world system. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's a world government system. So let me just say... it's a world government system. Okay, how many of you believe there's going to be a one world government? This is what the book of Revelation is saying is coming. And when you see the distressing things that are happening to nations, when you see the things that are shaking the nation where we live, it's because... The world system is getting ready. We see things happening that is weakening the nation. Why? Because it's all part of the plan. The people who are working for Satan, that are the movers and the shakers of this whole system, they have to weaken the nations in order to make a one world government. All right. The third beast that you see is also in chapter 13. And that is a beast that rises from the earth. Okay? Now, if the sea represents the world of unsaved, unredeemed people, what does the earth represent? In other words, this is not some animal that's going to come, you know, there'll be an earthquake and it comes up out of the dust, you know. No, this isn't. Earth means the carnal realm of, humanity, in particular the carnal realm of church. So this beast is going to be a religious system. I'll put religion. And we'll define these a little more clear as we go later on. All right? So this is going to be a one world religion. How many of you believe that the devil is going to have his way for a little while to have a one world religion? And you know what? It isn't going to be the true religion. It isn't going to be the true kingdom of God. It's going to be a false kingdom of God. It's going to be a harlot system. The fourth beast is in chapter 17. Okay? And by the way, these beasts, the first, the second, and the fourth, they all pretty much look alike. I mean, horns, heads, that type of thing. They all have the same description, almost the same. And they almost have the same description you found in the book of Daniel. So number four rises from where? It comes from the abyss, which is hell, which is really where, guess who? It's really where the devil comes from, isn't it? He's coming up out of hell. What that is saying is that God is going to allow something to come out of hell that's going to take over this world, a system. And when you get over to chapter 17, you're going to find that the city of religion, and it's not going to be as a picture of something with two horns, it's going to be a woman. And this woman is a false church woman, and she's going to be riding on top of this beast that comes from hell. So the church, there'll be a church system riding on a government system, both of them kind of joined together. But usually when there's somebody riding something, guess who's in control? If you're riding a horse, it's usually not the horse that's in control. It better be the rider that's in control. Otherwise, that horse will go anywhere. So let's start now. I've defined the terms. All I've done is define some terms. Let's start in Revelation chapter 12. Amen? It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun." Okay, now when we're talking about, first of all, remember now, we're talking about a spiritual place. There's a place in the spirit realm. Remember, the spirit realm is all around us. You can't see it with your natural eyes. Sometimes God gives you a little glimpse with your spiritual eyes, and you can see little glimpses, little visions. Sometimes you can hear the voice of God. Sometimes you hear the sound of devils, and you recognize that it's the sound of a devil, and you don't want to hear it. So God gives us the ability once in a while to peek into the realm of the spirit. So in this spiritual place, there's a woman, okay? Now, in the Bible, symbolically, woman always speaks of one thing. What is it? Woman speaks of church. Amen. Thank you, sister. Woman speaks of church. So, I'm going to try to draw a little bit here of... We have much better artists, I'm sure. Ava could probably do a whole lot better than I could. Amen. But let's see what we can do to make a woman. All right, here's woman. Can I make her green? Let's see now. How do we do this? All right, we got to make her arms. And she's got a dress, I guess. That way we'll make sure she's a woman. And she has to have hair. Okay, and all right, smiling. And feet. Okay, so what's the picture of this woman? It says there was a woman, and she's clothed with the sun. Clothed with the sun. What is the sun? What does the sun mean in the Word of God? What is that a picture of? It's a picture of God, right? It's a picture of the Father, the Heavenly Father. Remember when Joseph had the dream back in the days when he was with his father Jacob? And Joseph had the dream, and what was the dream? He dreamed the sun and the moon and 12 stars, and they bowed down to him. And Jacob interpreted the dream. He said, "Your mother, your brothers, okay, your mother and I too?" So the stars were interpreted as meaning the men, the sons of Jacob, but it could mean other men too. In other words, it means those men who are of a high calling, okay? And the mother would be the moon, and the father would be Jacob. So the son is the Heavenly Father. So this woman is clothed in the sun, brightness of the sun, radiant glory, okay? She's clothed with the sun. That's a beautiful place to be, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to be clothed with the sun? That means whenever anybody would see you, there would be a brightness. So this is a nice church, isn't it? This is a church that radiates the glory of God. And God is seen in her. All right, there's more to her description. Clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. So what will be the moon? Should we make a red moon? Okay. So the moon is under her feet. Now, what does the moon represent? Moon also represents a church, doesn't it? So the woman in Jacob's dream, Joseph's dream that Jacob interpreted, the moon was the mother, so the moon is also a woman, the moon is also a church. And the moon is a feminine word, okay? So the moon is the church. So what we have here is we have a church standing on a church. What else is there about her description? It says, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I guess we can make that. So around her head here, this is a different kind of crown, by the way. 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. She's crowned with the stars. Now, this is a different kind of crown than these beasts are wearing. Okay? This is a chaplet or a garland. Do you know what a garland is?
Garland.
This was the kind of crown that they used to give in the Olympics years ago, way, way, way back. It would be a little thing made out of leaves. And Paul said that we don't labor for a crown that fadeth away. So if you won the Olympic race, they would come with this little crown made out of olive leaves. And they would say, here, instead of you being the gold medal winner, you would have this little crown that they put on your head. And you could wear this crown around for the day or two until it faded away. And you were the champion of the whatever meter race that, I don't know, they even did meters in those days. Whatever race it was. So she has won a crown because of her overcoming power and her victory over sin. So this is a holy place woman now, all right? If we were looking at the tabernacle, let me make a little picture of the tabernacle here, all right? The tabernacle of Moses had three parts, right? And this is the outer perimeter, and this would be the tabernacle itself, okay? And there's a little curtain here. This part here, where the brazen laver or the brazen altar and the brazen laver are called the outer court. I'll label this outer court. This one here would be the holy place. Remember we sang the song, how did it go? Lift up your hands in the holy place. So this is what David was talking about when he said that was out of Psalms that David wrote. Lift up your hands in the holy place. Okay? And we were talking about children of Zion coming up to the highest place. Now this place here is the holiest place. I'll call it Holy of Holies, the most holy place of all. So in the days of Moses, people could come into this place. All people were welcome into this place. So you come into the brazen altar, and it's a picture of the shedding of the blood. This is where the animal was sacrificed. This is where the blood was shed. And in typology, this is where Jesus died on the cross. Okay, so let's put the cross right here. This is where Jesus died on the cross. Okay? And if you come in, this is the kingdom of God, by the way. This is the house of God. This whole thing represents the house of God. So you come into the house of God by acknowledging your sin at the cross. Okay? Where the shedding of the blood. Jesus shed his blood there. All right, the next step is baptism. This is a laver full of water, and it speaks of baptism. So after you're saved, you come to be baptized here. Now, you're still not really in the kingdom of God. You're just in the outer court, okay? Coming into the holy place, you have to come into the life of the Spirit. You have to come in and eat and feast on the life of Jesus Christ. We don't go into the furniture here, but here's another place. It's beyond the veil. This is where the throne of God is. Now, I don't know any human being that lives there. I would say we go there after we die. However, I have been there for a little while. I've had some glimpses there. Rita's had some glimpses. If you hear the voice of God, if you hear the Spirit of God, you're hearing from the Holy of Holies. You're hearing from behind the veil. And that veil is our flesh. We have a hard time breaking through our flesh, don't we? Amen? If you're like me, you want to hold on to the flesh. But God is saying, come on, you're going to have to let go of flesh things, okay? You're going to have to overcome the flesh. So, why did I say all that? Why I said all that is we're going to go back to this woman here now, okay? In Revelation chapter 12. It says, she's a wonder in heaven, woman clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, on her head a crown of 12 stars. All right, that 12 stars means she has divine order of government. 12 means government, okay? 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons of Jacob, amen? 12 apostles. It's God's way of governing his house. It's God's perfect order of divine government. So this woman, she has it all, wouldn't you think? Sounds pretty good, right? All right. However, there's another thing happening. It says, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. So what's the other problem? Within this woman is something else. I got to make him as a stick man. I'm sorry. He's little. Okay? She has a child within her. And she's in pain. This is a church now that's in pain. How many of you believe the true church is in pain? So there's something else in this beautiful, glorious woman. There's something else that's even better. But it's hidden away inside of her. And it's her desire to be delivered of this thing is creating turmoil, it's creating pain, it's creating tribulation, okay? And there's coming a day, however, according to this prophecy, when she will be delivered of this child, all right? And it's going to be a man-child, isn't it? Now, let's go back and compare what we have here with here. So here we have a moon church, which is under her feet. Am I right? Under her feet means she's come above it. It doesn't mean she's trying to stamp on it or trample it. It just means the picture is it's underneath her. And this is the outer court church. All right? So this church here is under her feet. Now here's the woman church, and here she's in the holy place church. She's a holy place church, which is a good place. I'm a holy place people. I haven't come into this place yet, but it's my desire to come into this place. It's our desire that the day is going to come when we're going to pass through that veil and come right before the throne of God and have all the power and all the authority and all the wisdom that we need. God is going to give it liberally before His throne. The book of Hebrews says, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So in other words, as far as God is concerned, this curtain has been taken down. God doesn't have that up anymore. But we still have it up. Because in my soul, I still have flesh thinking in me. I'm having a hard time breaking through that. However, inside of this woman, there's another church. And there's a people of God who are going to be walking in that place right there. Now, if you want a picture of that, you go back to chapter 11. Okay, it says, don't measure the outer court. It's going to be trampled underfoot for 3.5 years. Now, that means that there is a church. It's a big church. You notice how much bigger the outer court church is? There's a big church system that's going to be trampled underfoot by these beasts. They're just going to trample that thing to death. And God said, I do not have obligation to defend that outer court church. But He says, my two witnesses, which is a different church now. It's a different way of saying that it's going to be this church right here. Measure the temple of God, measure the temple of God and the whole and the golden altar and they that worship. See, now the golden altar is in here. It's right there before the veil. So there's a people. Measure those people. And He says, and my two witnesses, this world system, these beasts that are trampling the earth, they will not be able to touch them for 3.5 years. If any man tries to hurt them, fire comes and devours their enemies. How many of you would like to be among that people? That no devil can touch you. No force of darkness can have anything to do with you. We're not there yet. But you see, it's within this woman. All right, now we're going to get to this beast that wants to destroy this. It says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. What were the numbers again? 7, 10, and 7, right? 7, 10, 7. So what were the meaning of these things now? 7 heads. In other words, it's made out of 7 nations or 7 mountains. 10 men. 7 positions. This is the description. But it's clearly a spiritual force here now. This is not a natural force yet. So I don't know quite how this spiritual force is made up, except that when you come down to these, to this one and this one, you see almost the same picture. You see the 7, 10, 7. In one place it's 7, 10, and 10. So it's almost the same picture. So in other words, these are probably fallen angels. These 7, okay, these heads, these are probably evil creatures like Satan that have dominion over principalities. Remember the story of Again, when Daniel was having one of the dreams, Daniel was fasting and praying, and he was seeking the will of God. And he fasted and prayed for 21 days. And after 21 days, the angel Gabriel appeared to him. And Gabriel said, from the very first day that you began to fast and pray, the Lord sent me out to give you a message. But he said, the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. And he said, I couldn't get through until Michael, the archangel, came and helped me. And Michael fought against the prince of Persia. Now, by the way, do you know what Persia is today? Are you people listening to the news today, by the way? Iran. Did you notice that Persia was just given their billions of dollars now, and they have 10 years now that they can produce an atom bomb, but they're not supposed to do it for the next 10 years? And the United Nations have given them permission, and as a little token, they released four Americans. One of them was a preacher that was preaching the Word of God, and they put him in prison because he was practicing Christianity. Wasn't that nice of them? And of course, then we released seven Iranian spies. This is Persia. It was not a natural king of Persia. It was a prince demon that was over Iran, that whole Iran area. There was a prince demon that was so powerful. I mean, we're not talking about Satan now. We're talking about one of Satan's right-hand type of guys. It was so powerful that Gabriel could not get through. And so Michael, the archangel of God, had to come and withstand him and rebuke him and hold him off so that Gabriel could get through. Gabriel is an archangel, by the way. He's a mighty powerful angel, but not as powerful as Michael. And then Gabriel said, here's the prophecy, here's the word of God, here's what's going to happen in the end times. And he said, as soon as I leave you, I'm going to have to contend with the prince of Greece, which is another demonic being. So you see, I don't know exactly who these 7, 10, and 7 are. I mean, we can try to identify them when we get down into here. But these are spirit beings, I believe, because the picture here is a picture in a spiritual place. All right, let's go back. It says, there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. Here is the red dragon, okay? Red. Dragon. And when we get down to this creature here, it describes him as a crimson beast. The woman is riding a crimson beast. Is there a difference between red and crimson? These are actually different words in Greek that are translated. I'm colorblind. I probably wouldn't know the difference. I mean, red looks like crimson. Crimson looks like... Although sometimes I can tell a difference. You know how I tell the difference? As a nurse, when we draw blood, we better get red blood. Okay, which means it comes from the vein. I was with a nurse one time that we were drawing for the blood bank, and the blood came out crimson. And she said, uh-oh, she accidentally got into an artery. And it was oxygenated blood, and it was coming straight down from the heart, full of oxygen, and it was bright crimson. I could see the difference. And as she drew it, she said, uh-oh, stop, no more. can't draw that blood. So there is a difference. What is the meaning of these things? Why are they different? I don't know. I know that red, this particular red here, is a mockery. This is the color that was used when they put this robe on Jesus when he was just before he was crucified. They put this robe on him and they mocked him. And it was a mockery of royalty. They said, hail the king of the Jews, you know. And they'd slap him and beat him. And this was the color. And I'm wondering if Satan isn't just using that color as a dragon as a mockery of royalty, which he really doesn't belong to him. Okay, so we're talking about the red dragon with his horns and heads and what have you. All right, nations, leaders, and their positions. All right, and it says his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, we know that in the beginning, when Satan fell, he drew maybe a third of the angels of heaven with him. So stars, come on, I don't need to define stars to you. You know what stars are, don't you? Brian, you ever watch football? Every now and then. What do they call these guys? They're football stars. Anybody ever watch a Hollywood movie? Oh, of course you did. These are called, these actresses are called stars. And they have these little commemorative times to honor the stars, you know, and give them awards and Oscars and what have you. These are stars. Stars are people, all right, or beings, shall we say. And Satan is also drawing a substantial number of high-ranking men of God. They're falling. They're falling from their high place into the carnal realm. All right? You only have to watch television and watch some of these shows, of these religious shows on television, to realize that these men have fallen. They're not preaching the Word of God anymore. They're preaching prosperity, they're preaching money, they're preaching God knows what all they're preaching. They're preaching sorcery and witchcraft, some of them, practicing it. Amen? All right, his tail drew the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. It means they were brought down into the carnal realm. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Satan knows that there's a church that's going to bring forth a man-child. A man-child church. There's going to be a people of God that is going to stand upon this earth. And this man-child church is going to walk in the power and anointing that Jesus Christ had. Amen. Did you find anything there, sister?
Oh, I was just looking.
Was there a real difference of definition?
Red is just the primary color, but crimson is a deep red.
A deep red.
It's a little bit darker red.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a brighter red. But maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, it's a deep red.
Okay.
It's a deep in color.
Deep in color. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why there's this. Maybe you have some wisdom on this as to why there's these two different colors that are given. Everything that God says has a meaning. It all has a meaning. Amen? It says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. All right, this church, you see, this is a woman church, this is a woman church, and this is a man church. It says a man-child. What's the difference? Why are there two woman churches and one man church? Spiritually, what makes the difference? A woman cannot bring forth without a man. Am I right? And so the Bible says that in a marriage, the head of the woman is what? Is her husband, a man. The head of the church is what? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So, a woman church, as long as she's not really connected to the man, is still a woman. But as a man-child church, the head, Jesus Christ now, is connected to the church. So here's a church whose head is really Jesus Christ. Go around town and you ask all the churches, go up and down every street and say, who's the head of your church? Well, some of them will probably say the Pope is. Some of them will probably say, well, the pastor is. Okay? Some of them will probably say, well, Jesus Christ is. And you can say, well, I have a word from Jesus Christ that this is what we're supposed to do. And he might say, well, I'm the pastor and we're not going to do it that way. Okay? So we know who is really the head is man.
So here we have a church now that's being birthed, whose head is really Jesus Christ. So, he wants to devour this man-child church as soon as it's born. So Satan does not want this power to come forth in the church. He's going to try to stop it any way he can. Amen? But she brought forth a man-child. Now, what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this woman that brings forth a man? This is a prophetic thing, is it not? Let me tell you what they say about it, what some say. Some say, oh, this is a picture of Israel. Long ago, Israel brought forth, this is Israel, the woman is Israel. She brought forth Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was caught up to the throne of God, and he now rules the nations with a rod of iron. However, if you go back to the beginning of Revelation, the angel says to John, well, actually Jesus says to John, but sometimes the angel is speaking too. Where does he say that I'm going to show you things that are shortly to come to pass? It's in the first chapter. Oh, here it is, verse 19. He says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Okay? Now, we'll go over to chapter 4, because he's going to repeat it again. In chapter 4, I think it's chapter 4, and it was an angel speaking this time. And in verse 1, okay? And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. All right? Now John was on earth. He was on the Isle of Patmos. He was a man. He wasn't an angel. He was a man. And a door was opened in heaven. In other words, as he's sitting there, he has a vision. He sees into heaven. He sees into the spiritual realm. Okay? And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. So, if we're talking about chapter 12 as being a historical event, no. The voice of the trumpet, which is an angel trumpet, said, I'm going to show you things that are going to happen in the future. So the future, as John was writing this, was nearly 2,000 years ago. But he said, I'm going to show you things that are going to happen soon after this. And we're living in the hereafter. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, the other thing is, I found it interesting. Do you know that the Catholic Church says this is them? Yeah, some of their great theologians are saying, this is a picture of the Catholic Church. This Catholic Church is going to bring forth something powerful. It's going to be a mighty pope. And they're going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. So let me look at who is really going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Shall we? Go back to chapter 2, verse 27. Chapter 2, verse 27. And he's talking to one of the churches here. He's talking to the church of Thyatira. And he said, verse 26, he that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. All right? This is any overcoming church, any overcomer. And he said, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So the first reference to ruling over the nations is given to a church. A church can do that. A people of God are going to rule and reign on this earth with Christ. Am I right? You believe that? You don't have a problem with that, do you? I'm just reading it from the Bible. Okay, the second is given in right here in chapter 12. It says, this man-child is going to rule. You could say, okay, well, that's Christ. But I believe it's a church. Now, it's also Christ. Because in chapter 19, verse 15, it says, and this is Jesus now himself. He's riding on a white horse. His eyes are a flame of fire. On his head are many crowns. And by the way, these are diadems now that are on his head. He has every crown on earth. Amen? Every rulership. He's in charge of it all now. These aren't just chaplets or little things made out of leaves. Okay? And it says, he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, so that must be red. Okay? The armies, verse 14, the armies in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in white linen. So that means the angels and us, we're going to be part of that army. Okay, clothed in white. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it that he should smite the nations. In other words, with the word of his mouth, all he has to do is speak the word. It's done. I mean, how would he deal with North Korea? Just speak the word. How would he deal with Hitler? How will he deal with America? Bam, the word of his mouth. The wickedness that these nations have. Smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So here again is a ruling and reigning. He that overcomes will rule with Christ and sit with him in his throne. That's another one of the given also to one of the churches. If you overcome, if you overcome, if you overcome. And you see, here's the thing, that we need to be preaching the message of overcoming. This is a message that's not being preached today. The message that's being preached is, come on, give me your money and you'll get rich. Give me $10, you'll get $100. Give me $100, you'll get $1,000. Give me $1,000, you'll get $10,000. So, you see, I become very rich by telling you that. Now, I'm not discouraging giving. You know, you need to give. You need to give to the house of God. You need to give to something of God that is greater than you are. I mean, even Abraham, the great man that he was, he gave a tithe to Melchizedek. That means he gave a tenth of all the spoils that he took in that battle against the kings. So he gave to Melchizedek, and the word of God is very clear that that was a type of Jesus Christ, Melchizedek was. Amen? So, all right, we come back to this situation here in Revelation chapter 12. And it says, and she gave birth. All right, so this child here, what happens to it? This child is birthed, and caught up to the throne of God. Now, that doesn't mean he got raptured. Okay? Doesn't mean he got raptured. It means he got moved by God into the throne means a place of authority. This man child, this is not God. This comes out of a woman. All right, a woman, human, church. Out of this church comes powerful move of God. This man child is caught up to the throne of God. How do we make a throne here? There we go. It's a simple throne. A throne is a seat. It could be fancy or it doesn't have to be fancy. It's a place where the seat of power, the seat of authority is. All right. So this man-child goes to here. The woman, what does it say about her? The woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. How long is that? 1,000, let me write the number. 1,000 what?
3 score. That's 1,060.
I got to write the whole number here.
260 days, which happens to equal 42 months, which happens to equal 3.5 years, right? And you find these numbers throughout Revelation. It's not a symbolic number, it's a natural number. It means 3.5 years. It means that there's going to be, she's going to have a wilderness experience for 3.5 years. In other words, if it starts at Easter time in 2017, it's going to end 18, 19, 20 at Tabernacles 2020. I'm not saying those are the dates. I'm just giving you an example. In other words, it'll be 3.5 years after it starts, after the man of sin is proclaimed and made known. Okay, we don't know who this man of sin is yet. You know, Satan keeps a lot of candidates going all the time. Back in the 1940s, you've probably heard me say this before, he had four candidates, I think, maybe more, but four of them were especially being groomed to be the Antichrist, the man of sin. Hitler was one, Mussolini was one, Stalin was one, how do we say the guy from Japan, Toto? Tito? How do you pronounce that? Toto, Tito, I don't know. I didn't live in those days. Well, I lived in those days, but I don't remember here. We didn't have a radio. We didn't even have electricity in those days, so I don't know how they pronounced him. Four candidates that Satan had. Well, none of them really, they almost came on the scene where they became the world dictator, but not quite. It wasn't quite God's time yet. But you know what? I believe the time is getting very, very close now. So, the woman went into the wilderness. What do you think? She had to go out in the woods? Find a cabin in Montana somewhere? No, I don't think that's what it's talking about. I think the wilderness speaks of a place of tribulation. And yet, she's fed and sustained. Okay? There's a greater church than this. This is a good church, by the way. But there's an even greater people than her. The holy place is a good place. It's a good people. It's a good church here. This church is going to be destroyed. Now, you have to come through here to get to here. But after a while, this church is going to be destroyed. It's going to be trampled underfoot. So there's a greater church than this, and there's a people who are going to live behind the veil. How many of you believe that Jesus lived behind the veil while he walked on earth? He said, I don't do anything except I see the Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear the Father do it. That means that he had access behind the veil. He had access 24/7, 365 to the throne of God. Whenever anybody said something to him and he had to answer, he heard God answer. The answers that Jesus Christ gave to the disciples, you've got to realize, it wasn't a man that was speaking those words. He was hearing from God. He was a man in the flesh. He was God in the flesh, hearing the voice of God from the heavenly realm and saying, Peter, you don't desire the things of God. You desire the things that the devil's been after you, Peter. Get behind me, Satan. And how would you like God to talk to you that way sometimes? Would you be offended? Did you say yes? Yes, of course, we'd be offended. What do you mean, calling me the devil? Get behind me, devil. This was God speaking. And you know what? God says things like that because he loves us. Did God ever say anything sharp to you? Rebuke you? Something you didn't like to hear? Yeah, he does that sometimes. All right, so, Am I out of time? Oh no, we got a little time yet. Let me just summarize this here, okay? It says there was war in heaven. War in heaven, verse 4. War in heaven. Michael and his angels, those are holy angels, okay, fought against the dragon
and the dragon fought the angels. So the dragon is the devil, okay? The devil's angels, and prevailed not. The devil prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. See, they're given all his names. He has all those names. It's him. There's no question. That dragon is the devil. That dragon is the serpent. Amen. Who deceived the whole world. He is presently deceiving the whole world. If you're part of the world system, if you think like the world, you're part of that deception system. Amen. He deceived the whole world. He was cast where? To the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. In other words, his cronies, his fighting devils, his demons, everything of hell was brought to earth. What's that mean? Hell breaking out on earth. Hell came from the spiritual realm down to the realm where we are, which means he's limited in his spiritual thing, and he's going to do it all in the natural now. What do you think all this shooting is going on? It's the devils being cast down to earth, getting into the hearts and souls of wicked men. It's no longer an imagination of their mind. Now they're going to do it. And that's exactly what's happening with ISIS, with these things. These are demons that are being released. They are no longer bound in heavenly places. They are now cast down into earth. And they're going to carry out their wicked business with blood and guts, or whatever it takes. Sorry to use that term. But that's what's going on. Hell is opening up its abyss. And these spirits are coming out of hell. Amen. Hell is a spiritual place, by the way. But you see, the devil had... And by the way, this heavenly place that he's being cast out of... He's coming down. The war is also, it's not going on just out there. It's going on in the souls of us. Our mind, our thinking, our will, our desires. There's a conflict going on. The devil is fighting to get control of your thinking. To get you to make a decision, to go his way. To give yourself over to the carnal things of this world. Whatever it is. Sex, drugs, alcohol, thievery, whatever. Give yourself over to the devil's way. There's a war going on, and people are losing the war. But there's still time for deliverance. Amen. God can deliver you. Hallelujah. So, he was cast out unto the earth, and his angels with him. All right, so that means hell is coming down where we are. That's why we see things changing the way they are today. That's why we see the tribulation and the trouble that's going on in our earth today is because hell is coming down where we live. And we're going to have to gird up our loins, and we're going to have to get stronger in the power of the might of Jesus Christ. There's no other way you're going to overcome it.
Come up higher.
We're going to have to come up higher. Amen. We're going to have to come up higher. Now, the woman in the wilderness, she isn't necessarily coming up higher, but God is good enough to her that he's going to take care of her. Somebody's going to feed her. Guess who's going to feed her? Her man-child is going to feed her and take care of her. What do we have here? We have a wise virgin. We have a foolish virgin here. Wise and foolish. Okay. Now, what happens when this happens? When this war takes place, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, he heard from the Spirit again, now is come salvation. Hello? I said, now is come salvation. You say, well, I'm already saved. I got saved back there when I was 9 years old. No, that isn't all there is to salvation. You know that. Peter said, now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed. So that means there was a salvation when you first came in the door. You came to the cross. There's a continuing salvation. And there's a salvation to be revealed at the end time. It's all in the Bible. It's scripture I'm quoting to you. And here it says, now is come salvation, amen, and strength, and the kingdom of God, and the power of His Christ. In other words, here's where God pours out His authority to His people. He's going to give you... How many think you have all the authority you need? I mean, you have the authority, you can raise the dead, heal the blind. I don't have all that authority yet. Sometimes He gives us a little healing and a little touch of this. Even raise the dead, sometimes it happens. But I don't have all the authority that I need or would like to have. But the day is coming when it's going to be poured out. Amen? And the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast out. Here's what this demon, this beast, Satan, red dragon, here's what he does. He is the accuser of the brethren. How does he accuse you? He whispers to your soul. Oh, I remember what you did back there 10 years ago. Oh, but I asked forgiveness. Ah, no, you never got forgiveness. You're just like that. You're still the same way you were. This is the devil accusing you, telling you you're no good, telling you you don't have the power to overcome, telling you that you're always going to be a loser. Do you ever hear those voices? That's the accuser of the brethren, and it says that he's cast down. Amen. I look forward to that accuser being cast down. Devil, you're not going to accuse. You know how to overcome the accuser of the brethren? Listen, it tells how you're going to overcome that. It says, right? He accused them day and night. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. How do you overcome the accuser? First of all, by the blood of the Lamb. When that accusation comes against you, it's usually going to come from right within your own thinking, soul, whatever. The devil whispering to you, you're no good, you're a sinner, you're a loser, you did this, you did that, you made a mess of your life, you're never going to get any better. I mean, whoa, wait a minute. All that is under the blood, Satan. It's under the blood, and Jesus, God doesn't see that anymore. All He sees is the blood. Yes. Fact, I did those things. Fact, I used to be a loser. Fact, I used to be a sinner. Fact, I did very vile and terrible things. Right? But it's under the blood. Satan, you see it, but God doesn't see it. And I'm not listening to you. I'm going to listen to what God says, because God sees me and He doesn't see that if I'm under the blood. Now, if I'm doing stuff that's not under the blood, I better get him under the blood. So you overcome by the blood, and then by the word of your testimony. And you need to say, you know, Satan can't read your thoughts. You have to tell him. Tell him, Satan, demon, I'm sending you to hell. I'm sending you to the abyss. Because you're not going to torment me anymore with that. And he needs to hear your voice say it, because he can't read your mind. Now, God can read your mind. But just tell the devil, be gone. What did Jesus say? He said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. I don't want to look at you. You don't have anything to say. Thus saith the word of God. The word of God says we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The word says I'm redeemed. The word says the blood covers my sin. Therefore, you have no ground. So, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, I used to think that was enough. All right, I can overcome to a certain amount. But you know what? In the day that we're looking at right now, in these days that are coming upon the earth, you're going to have one more thing to overcome. You read it, didn't you? And they love not their lives unto death. Devil, I don't care what you do. Well, I do care. But no matter what you do, you will not get me to capitulate. Now, those people... Some of those people out there in, was it Oregon, where that guy came in with a gun into the college campus there? And he said, how many of you are Christian? Bam, shot him in the head. How many of you are not Christian? Bam, shot him in the leg. Those were people who laid down their life and they overcame. Amen? How about some of these people in Persia that are being beheaded? all because they're Christians. Just Christians. How about those people that they lined up on the shores of the, where was it, in Libya or Tunisia or somewhere? The ISIS lined them up, beheaded them all. You know, they probably weren't the strongest Christians in the world. Maybe they weren't the man-child people. But you know what? They would not reject Jesus Christ. They maybe some of these people were Orthodox people. Maybe they don't know as much as we know about the Word of God. Maybe they're not preached it. But they knew one thing. They knew that Jesus Christ was their Savior, and they were not going to capitulate. And they get a martyr's crown. Yes, they get a crown. They get a martyr's crown. Even if they're not as strong an overcomer as I hope that we are, they get a martyr's crown. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens. Now, the word of God doesn't have to give instruction to heaven, people in heaven, angels in heaven, people that are died. Who is this heaven talking to? You people. You, the heaven in you. The heaven, the heavenly. What? The Word of God says we can dwell in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, I didn't used to be able to understand that. I was so confused, Brian, when I was a young fella about your age. I used to say, God, come on. Which way do you want me to go? Come on. I can't be in heaven and walk down here at the same time. I don't get it. I mean, it took me years. I was awful thick in my head. Couldn't figure that out. Couldn't understand it. Finally, it came to me. Hey, I'm a spiritual person too. I'm not just a natural man. I'm a spiritual man. Amen? Therefore, I can be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens. You who are in spiritual places, rejoice. Why? Because the devil's coming to an end. Amen? Rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. See, I dwell in heavenly places. But woe, woe, see, if you're not there, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Earth and sea. Let me point it out. We'll use a different color here. Earth. Earth is this church right here. Carnal church. Carnal church. Church, people whose only aim is to get rich, buy the big multi-million dollar lottery or billion dollar lottery. Did you hear about that lottery? I hope not if you wasted any of your money on that thing. If you did, you didn't win, you know that. Well, that's carnal thinking. That's carnal church. Woe to the earth if you're here. If you're here in this earth. It isn't just that. It's the religious rituals. It's everything that's involved in it. Woe to the earth. And woe to the sea. Where's the sea? I'll use black. The sea is outside in the world. Sea, world. Woe to the world and woe to the carnal church. All right. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath because he knows his time is very short. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you help us this day, that we not walk in carnal places, but we walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for each one that is here this day and that is hearing this word. Lord, that you would stir us up and give us the power to be overcomers, to set our life in a proper and right place. Lord, that we might walk according to righteousness, Lord. That we would no longer pursue the pleasures of this world. But Lord, that we would only walk where you would desire us to walk. In spiritual, in righteousness, under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.